Shay 45, we're here to help you, and I got Thomas Gagliano. Wrote a book called Don't Put Crap in Your Kid's Diaper. Clean up.
Hey, buddy.
What up, man? How you doing, sir?
Good. Don't put your crap in your kid's diaper. Put that urine in, man. We gotta make sure we're putting the right crap in the right diaper.
I guess you're right. That was a big word for me to leave out. Don't put your crap in your kid's diaper, because we all got issues, right?
Yep. Thanks for having me on, Jude. Really appreciate it.
No doubt. All right, let's talk about being a better parent. What are some of the... I'm guessing that we as parents do shit that was done to us. Is that fair to say or not?
Sure. Without help, we just carry it down. And, you know, when I have clients, one of the toughest things for them is to understand that they can challenge their parents' message, and it does not mean they don't love them. My clients think if they're going to challenge the messages that have really hurt them in life, it means that they don't love them. But here's the problem. If we can't view our parents' shortcomings with clarity, then it will be difficult for us to be aware of what we need to work on. And it don't change, man. I sabotaged intimacy my whole life. Anybody that got close, I pushed them away. And that's the problem. You got to go back under those unswept corners of your life and say, okay, what messages did they give me that were good? And what messages did they give me that I got to really look at here?
What are common bad messages that we've been given?
Absolutely. It's very tough. You know, when we're young, we look at our parents as our gods, okay? We look at them as the most trustworthy people in our lives. And when they betray that trust, we stop trusting others. And I can tell you, I run groups, and the common denominator in all of them is these guys, because I run men's groups, is they just don't love themselves. And nobody's going to get close. I'm talking for me, if I don't love myself. So when I wrote this book, I wrote down a lot of, through therapy, through a lot of years of working on myself, what are some of the things I would have wanted when I was a kid?
Candy.
Right.
Security, right. Some boundaries, I guess.
Sure, but you know what? When we think about don't put your crap in your kid's diaper, and I say the cleanup course is going to last a lifetime, you know, it's not as hard as we think. One, we wanted to feel like our feelings mattered. Why, Jude? Because if we feel like our feelings matter, we feel like we matter. So what I tell parents all the time is validate and acknowledge your kids' feelings. You don't have to agree with them, but at least give them the feeling that what they're saying matters to you. It's very important to at least have that first piece in play.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's like, okay, they might be scared and you think it's stupid. Be like, I understand that you're scared.
You got it.
Then what?
You got it. But here's the thing. You want them to solicit that information from the wrong people, or you want them to be able to talk to you about their curiosity. This is my second piece, the curiosities with drugs, with sex, with all these things. Or do you want them to go to the wrong people to find that information out? So you got to be curious with your kids. Talk to them. What are they up to? Hey, Johnny, you look sad. Want to talk about it? What's going on? I never had that as a kid, but I tell parents, be curious with your kids. And you know what? They may not like it. They may want to tell you to go, leave me alone. You're always trying to do it. No, bullshit. Maybe they'll tell you that at a young age, but later on they're going to say, you know what? My mom or dad or whoever really were, it's because I was important. That's why they wanted to know what was going on in my life.
Let's talk about damaging styles of parenting. What are some styles that are bad for the kid?
Well, I could tell you that many parents try to control their kids' behaviors. And I tell them right off the bat, you know what? You're going the wrong way. You know, your kid is going to get to a certain age and they're going to do whatever the hell they want to do. You can't control their behaviors. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can give them the tools to control their own behaviors. Let me give you an example.
All right.
Okay. When my kid told me he wanted to smoke pot, you know what I wanted to do, Jude? I wanted to put him in his room until he's 25 years old. Because I'm a recovering addict, right?
Yeah.
But you know what I did? I said, what do you know about pot? Let's talk about it. So he turned around and he decided on his own, you know what? Maybe this isn't right for me. So he didn't hang out with kids that were going to hurt him or going to bring him down the wrong road. Now, He made that decision on his own. If I control the hell out of him, is that going to work when he's 18? You know what I did when I got old enough to drive and everything? Nobody told me what to do. Hmm. So we have to instill tools so that children control their own behaviors where they want to stay straight, not because mom and dad are twisting their arm. Make sense?
Yeah, totally. You want them to be able to, if you're controlling them, once they get old, they either like fly off the handle because there's no one there to tell them what to do.
You got it, man.
Or
you got it. You can't protect
super
your kids
needy.
From the world.
Yeah.
Eventually, they're going to have to do what they want to do. And if they want to stay straight, they'll stay straight. But if they have a lot of pain inside and they're looking to act out that pain in the wrong way, like I always did when I was a kid, they're going to do that. So again, create that healthy environment where they could talk to you. And you know the other thing that I always say is that when your child struggles, Jude, when they're struggling with anything, whatever it is, think about what you wanted to say, what you wanted to hear your parents tell you when you were a kid. And I got to tell you, with all the insanity I lived through, with my father, you know, duly addictive with his insanity, my mother's insanity, you know what I would have loved?
What's that?
I would have loved mom or dad, somebody to come over to me and say, hey, Tom, it's going to be okay, with a little hug. That's it. Not a long story. That's it. Because at the end of the day, when our children struggle, whether it's their heart's broken, whatever it is, you know what they need more than anything? They need love. It's going to be okay, kid. I'm here for you. That's it. We don't have to overthink it. We don't have to fix it. We don't have to tell them what to do. They just need somebody to tell them they're going to be okay.
I was, something else I was thinking of. I was just talking about this the other day. Like, as crazy as my old man was, I'm really grateful for him because he would put me in check. Mm-hmm. And whether I realized that or not, at the time, I often resented him deeply for telling me what to do and what not to do. But it also, him telling me what to do and not to do in certain instances kind of made me feel safe. It made me know.
You got it.
Made it was like, okay, I'm going to wild the fuck out. And if I'm going too fucking crazy, Angel step in and fucking put the kibosh on that shit. And like, it gives you a sense of security in a way.
It does, because we need security. We need boundaries as kids. You know, boundaries to some parents are so hard to do. But when you do it properly, you're allowing your children to stay safe when there's boundaries. And I tell parents, you know, you need to tell your children the choices they make will determine the consequences bestowed on them. Like when my son was talking about smoking weed and doing all this shit, I said, just so you know, if you do something against the law, you could go to jail. Mm. I didn't tell him what to do. I told him the consequences he had. If he chose A, he has consequences. See, and what happens sometimes is we get so crazy with our kids that when they make a mistake, and this is huge, they believe they are a mistake. When they fail at times, they believe they are a failure. We don't want to give them that message. But we do want to prepare them for the world and tell them, if you choose A, you have to take the consequences with A. Very important to become responsible for the actions that we do.
Charles,
not to tell our children that if they do fail at times, they're a failure.
All right, you're getting some pushback on the don't tell kids what to do. Let's get Charles. Go ahead, Charles.
Yeah, man, I believe that shit is bullshit because I told my kid not to do this, not to do that, and he came out fucking perfect. He's in UC Merced, and I went to prison for fucking 10 years, raised my kids by myself. Mm. How are you going to say that?
Charles, I'll tell you something, and I want to compliment you because you also had to give the message to your children that they really mattered to you, that you love them, that you – exactly – so what you did, you don't have to agree with what I said.
Don't hang around gangbangers. Don't do what I did. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and
that don't mean disciplining them, you know, and telling them not to do this, not to do that. And here they go doing the same shit. I think it was bullshit. Because now they all turned out good, you know? Yeah. And I was a single parent.
God bless you,
Charles. Stay away from weed.
Like they matter.
Yo, Thomas, so I got a question. Like, to Charles's point, let's say there's a middle ground where you talk to the kids and reason with them. But like, am I going to reason with a 2-year old?
So
at a certain age, you are telling them what to do. You're like, no, don't fucking do that. Like,
you know what? You can't. But what you can do is this. Let's say the kid's 4 years old.
Right.
Or 5 years old.
Okay.
And you tell them, if you don't put your toys away, you can't play with your toys tomorrow. What message are you giving them? You're giving them the message that they're responsible for their actions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, you also give them the message that you love them. You know, the healthiest child in the world is one that can face the world with integrity and self-esteem. And also know that they have their parents to fall back on if they need to talk about their struggles. That's, in my world, a healthy child. So you can start, even at an early age, in a very loving way, to teach your children that there is consequences for the choices they make.
Now,
the
you
choices, said... Like telling my son, you know what? Or my daughter, if you don't come in when you're supposed to come in, you can't go out tomorrow. I love you.
Let's talk about helicopter parenting. That seems to be all the fucking rage of the last 20 fucking years. And now I'm dealing with adults who have been helicopter parented. Let's talk a bit about that. Tell me about that.
I'll tell you right now that I've never seen kids with so much anxiety, so much suicide tendencies as I do now. I have a whole load of clients that are kids. And the reason why is because as parents, if we don't prepare our kids to face the world, if we run in and rescue them all the time, when that child gets old enough, they're not going to be able to have the tools to deal with life on life's terms. They're not. Now, for me, I came from the opposite end. I came from neglect. So I was great dealing with life on life's terms. I acted out with addictions. But what I'm seeing more and more now is if you don't allow your children to learn coping mechanisms and get out of their own shit, it doesn't mean that you're not there for them to talk to them and process their feelings. But if they don't learn coping mechanisms early on and learn how to get out of their own crap, when they face the world, they're going to have so much anxiety because they're not going to know what to do. And you know the crazy thing, Jude? In all these experiences, guess who they're mad at? They're mad at the parent later on that came in and always rescued them.
Yeah, you do often see that. And it's not always expressed in that way. They're mad at the patriarchy. And it's like, so you're mad at your dad that took care of you.
And a parent comes to me and goes, I don't understand. Why is Joey or Susie mad at me? I was always there. I always took care of everything. That's why they're mad at you. Because they're at the age now that they got to deal with life and they're not equipped.
Yeah, they're sharp edges in this world. And if you as a parent are running around putting foam on all those edges once they get old enough and step out into the real world, it's devastating to them.
No tools. Absolutely no tools.
Let's go to James calling from Alabama. Go ahead, James.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on. How you guys doing today?
Awesome, man.
You got
Thomas Gagliano. Don't put your crap in your kid's diaper. Go ahead.
Yes. I wanted to call and just mention that when I was growing up, my parents were always, I was very open with my parents about, you know, the things going on in my life, and it was more of a guiding tool that I was never really scared of consequences because we always had that conversation about whatever it may be. And it's funny because my wife had the opposite effect. She grew up in a small town and everyone knew everything and you had to sneak around and your parents never knew what you were getting into, and you end up getting, I think, in more trouble that way. I always had the same problems after college. I had one little misstep, but my parents said, you know, you gotta deal with it yourself. You got yourself into it. You gotta get yourself out of it. But, you know, I learned from it in the end and haven't had any more missteps. But, you know, I think like what Thomas is saying, if you have a good open relationship with your parents and are able to talk to them and explain what's going on in your life, I think it's much better than feeling scared about your parents finding something out about you.
Absolutely.
888-742-3345.
You have to create that as parents.
Nate in Portland. Go ahead, Nate. Nate.
Yeah.
Go ahead, man.
Yeah, man. I think at a certain age, you do have to switch from telling a kid to what to do to letting them make that decision. And I think after they hit those teenage years, they have the mindset to be able to make those decisions on their own.
Right.
Thanks for calling.
Right.
Up. Yeah. Thanks for.
It's great when they can choose the right decision because they want to.
Let's go to Sean in Pennsylvania. Sean, go ahead.
Yo, what it do, Jude?
Go ahead, man.
Thomas, very good segment, man. Just wanted to make a couple statements here. I think it's the responsibility of all of us, man, as men, as grown women, to take responsibility of our kids, man, of our actions, their actions. I think right now in our society, there's a lot of folks that don't want to take criticism. And I think that's why we see where we're at now. And also, dude, I just want to give a shout out to Charles that just called in trying to bullshit Thomas there. Thomas, that dude didn't serve no 10 years single parent. That motherfucker bullshitting. But anyways, man, Jude, thank you, Thomas. Good segment. We'll hear from you guys soon.
I don't know if he's...
Thank you. And you know what? You brought up a point that we got to, at some point in our life, get out of that victim seat and jump in the responsibility seat. And you know, Jude, I always say you could be a victim in a lot of ways, by the color of your skin, your gender, your sexuality. You could be a victim in a million ways. But at the end of the day, you can't drink poison down all day long. You got to get out and get in a responsibility seat. And I love the caller because you really do have to do that. And as men, we got this bullshit message that men got to be tough. Men can't share their feelings. Men can't be vulnerable. And you know what? It's a bunch of crap because so many clients come to me, and instead of talking about their feelings, they're acting them out in crazy ways.
Well, you know, like, we kind of do have to be tougher. Like, I can't, like, fuck a broad and start crying after I bust a nut. She's going to be like, what the fuck is wrong with this dude? Like, fuck, man. Madison in Wisconsin, of all places. Go ahead, Madison.
Hi. I'm calling just because I'm having trouble dealing or coping with a parent who oversteps boundaries and is overreaching, especially when I'm an adult. Two kind of examples that I can think of are my mom hired a private investigator. I was 19, and she hired him once she found out that I had a boyfriend.
Damn.
And she like had him investigated and followed around, and even had his friends, like the private investigator went over to like the friend's house to ask questions. And also she found out that I was on medication, and she like violated my HIPAA laws by sending a letter to my physician stating that she doesn't think that like my diagnosis is the right one. And it's just a lot to deal with a parent who...
Damn, she hired a private investigator, man. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thomas, how does she broach the subject?
Controlling your kid's behavior is not going to work. Did it work? Did it bring her close to you? Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. So what I would suggest to you, honestly, first of all, I'm sorry you go through this, because our parents are supposed to be supportive. They're not supposed to create more chaos in our life. So what I suggest to you is to get in some kind of group or program or something where you have people that you can talk to about this that support you. Doesn't make your life crazier. And I'm really sorry you're going through this, but this gets back to you can't control your kid's behavior, and your mom doesn't know that. She's a fearaholic. She's always afraid of everything. And what she does because of that fear is she tries to control your life. Guess what? It doesn't work.
What about single parents, Thomas? What's the message to? There's tons of
single parents. You got to be the best parent you can be.
Okay.
Plain and simple. And again, all the things I said you can do as a single parent. You know, create a safe place where your child can talk to you, be curious with your children, tell them that the choices they make create the consequences that bestow them, and that's the best you can do. And it's really tough for single parents because they got to work, they got to do this, they got to do that, but always remember, you don't have to give them quality time. Give them quality time. Check with them every day. Say, hey, what happened today that was the best part of your day? What was the worst part of your day? Be curious and do the best you can. And I know it's tough. I'm just giving you the best I can give you as to what you can do as a single parent.
Do you notice the difference in children if there isn't a mom or a father in the household?
Without a doubt. Look, you know, I go back to when I grew up and my dad was never around, I was always trying to figure out what I did wrong. And it does leave an abandonment wound inside of me that I needed to heal and process, because I always wondered, well, you know, why is my mom the only one around me? So it does leave an abandonment wound. But like all wounds, we're not responsible for our wounds, but we're certainly responsible for either healing or managing them, because we're the ones that are going to pay that price. We're the ones that are going to commit suicide by installments and never be happy in our life.
Well, I'm with Tony in Dallas. Go ahead, Tony.
All right, so my situation is I have primary custody of my teenage daughter. When her mom does come around, mom is the cool parent. Mom got the tats, mom got the turquoise hair, she out partying, all that stuff. And she's starting to flock more towards what mom does, no matter how many good morals I try to put into her. I don't want to take the love away from her mother, but I don't want her to follow in her mom's footsteps. What advice do you have for me?
I could tell you three things that come to mind. One is, always remember that those children are not responsible for the breakup or whatever happens. Keep validating that. It's not your fault that me and mom have problems. Number two, never manipulate your children with your wife. Never talk about your wife in front of them. Never make, because it's always going to be their mom. And number three, always remember to keep them as your priority in life. And you can only be the best dad you can be. You can't be the best mom you can be. Always just keep focused on what is the best thing I could do for my kids now, and try as best as you can. And man, I know this is hard. Don't focus on what your wife is doing right or wrong.
And just be that rock. And hope that the kid figures out down the road.
Tough. Right, so really basically tough. Be that Band-Aid when that wound comes and just let her know why she hurt herself and how not to hurt herself again, correct?
Yeah.
Without shitting on the mom.
Yeah, right. Beautiful, Jude. That's the key, without shitting on the mom. Because you know what? At the end of the day, you're their dad, she's their mom. And we always want to think positive about our parents. And when one parent is manipulating or talking trash about the other parent, it really hits the kid hard. They feel like they're not important. So, and it's easy to do that. Just be aware of it.
Boom. There it is. All right. Thank you so much. Thomas Gagliano, don't put your crap in your kid's diaper. You can grab that on Amazon and order it at any bookstore, and we appreciate you helping people become better parents. Because,
and if I can just say, if anybody wants to hear more about my podcast, go to The Problem Was Me on Instagram or Spotify, and you can click on my podcast, The Problem Was Me, and take what you can and you can use. Leave the rest. That's all I have to say.
There it is. The Problem Was Me. Thank you so much, Thomas Gagliano, my man. All right, let's play some music. Come on.